He addresses the love of money. Notice 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So tonight, the love of money. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that we would learn, we would grow, and we would understand, Lord, how you often use money to test us in regards to our faithfulness and our commitment to you. But I pray, Lord, we would understand and grow through this, and that the Holy Spirit would be in control. In Christ's name we ask, amen. They that will be rich, he says, fall into temptation and a snare. So now we understand why so few of us are rich. Because we can't handle it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. But notice Proverbs 15:27. We'll look at some Old Testament as well. All through the Bible, God warns us about wealth and the dangers of it. Proverbs 15, verse 27. The Bible says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. So being greedy of gain just leads to trouble. And then Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. We know so many people today are doing whatever they can to get rich, thinking they can do it without working. And of course, so many people can these days with investments and everything. But God says it leads to temptation and a snare and foolish and hurtful lusts. That's a lot of warnings, isn't it? And the key, of course, is who or what we're trusting in. He never says that money is evil. He says the love of money is evil. And there is a big difference there. But he is warning rich people in our same chapter, 1 Timothy 6, down in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. In other words, because we are weak in our old man, when we have riches, we would tend to trust them instead of trust God. We would tend to say, I don't really need any help because I have all this wealth. And that's the danger. And that's what leads to the love of money. Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. So it's the key is who or what we're trusting in. We should be trusting in the Lord, not the money. And it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And Jesus, early on in Matthew 4:19, if you want to turn there, warned us about riches and how they can be a danger to our spiritual life. Notice Mark. Sorry about that. Mark 4:19. Talking here about the soils, the different soils. And he says in verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So he says that riches can be deceitful. And of course, in Mark 10, if you want to turn there, we know the story of the rich man who came to Jesus, Mark 10:24. And after his interaction, Jesus went on to say, verse 23, Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished. Think about it, what Jesus just said. Jesus answereth again and saith to them, children, how hard is it For them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Again, verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure. So first they were just astonished, then they're astonished out of measure. They're like, who then can be saved? If it's that hard for a rich person to get to heaven. Again, money's not evil, but it can be deceitful. It can lead to hurtful lusts. It can lead to us trusting in the money instead of God. And it is called the root of all evil here in verse 10. The love of money. Now God, all through His Word, as a side note, teaches us the importance of giving, doesn't He? And I submit to you that a person who's not willing to give, the reason they don't like to give or are unwilling to obey God and give is because they love money. What other motive would there be? And Jesus addressed this in Matthew 6 in a big way. So let's turn there. Most of us are familiar with this. But in 6:19, He talks about what we love, doesn't He? He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus says it's impossible to serve both at the same time. And so people who are striving to get money, they cannot serve God. And that says they don't love God. Jesus said it, not me. It's in the Word. So people that refuse to honor the Lord, like we're commanded to, right? Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. People who refuse to obey those commands obviously love money too much, and it's going to lead to major spiritual problems in their lives. Luke 6:38 is a New Testament equivalent, if you want to turn there, where God teaches us the importance of giving. Now, God does not need our money. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God is the only quadrillionaire in the universe. Amen? Because He owns everything. So He doesn't need our money. That's not why He wants us to give, because He needs our money. He wants us to give because He wants our hearts. And He knows that if we're willing to trust Him with the 90%, we've gone a long way at Him owning our heart. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again. That's a faith verse, isn't it? Give. First we have to give, then what? God will in turn give back to us, but that's faith. We have to believe it's true and we have to be the first one to give. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Paul in chapters 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians is essentially commending the Corinthians for and others for being good givers. And he says in verse 6, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And usually when God commands us to give, He attaches a promise to it, doesn't He? Like Malachi 3:10. So shall I open you the windows of heaven. If what? You bring you the tithes into the storehouse. But notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. And again, a promise attached to His command to give. Ephesians 4:28 is, we'll look at this one and then move on. Ephesians 4:28. So He's warning us about the temptations, about the hurtful lusts that come with riches. I don't think even us are struggling with that, having too much money. But if you are, God says, be careful. Amen? Be careful that you don't trust the money instead of trust God. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the thing which is good, that he may have, look at the end of the verse, to give to him that needeth. So he says one of the reasons he wants us to labor rather than be a thief is so that we can earn money. But he says one of the purposes he wants us to earn money for there in Ephesians 4:28 is to what? To give to him that needeth. To be a blessing to others. Isn't that something? That verse we looked at in Luke 6:38. Shall men give into your bosom? That's how God works. That's his program, isn't it? If we'll give, he'll give back. And he does it through people. So back to our passage here, 1 Timothy 6:10. Which, well, at the end of the verse, which while some coveted after, look what it says, they've erred from the faith. Wow, that's pretty strong words. And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In just these two verses, that's a lot of warnings, isn't it? About the danger of riches, temptation, snare, foolish and hurtful lusts, drowning in destruction and perdition, the root of all evil, and now erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil. Let's look at Proverbs 23:4. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Where again the contrast is working for what we have. Labor not to be rich. Well, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So never are we commanded to labor to try to be rich. We're commanded to labor to feed our family. But never to be rich. He says, labor not. Amen? To be rich. And instead, he promises that if we will be liberal with what he gives us, look at Proverbs 11:25, that he, again, he always promises, attaches promises to these commands, but it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Isn't that something? So as Jesus said in Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, verse 21, there will your heart be also. If we're pursuing riches, as he said, you cannot love God and love money at the same time. The love of money is the root of all evil. He said you'll either love the one and hate the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. So the love of money, God says, is the root of all evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for teaching us through your word tonight about the love of money and its dangers. I pray that we'll be careful never to trust our paycheck, but to trust you. And Lord, to always trust you in this matter of giving back a portion of what you've given us. Not because you need it, but because you want our hearts. You want us to live by faith. So I appreciate, Lord, what you've taught us tonight and pray that we will all live it in our own personal walk. We ask this in Jesus' name.